Hello, everyone, and welcome to this edition of Invest Africa Insights, where we speak to experts to get you the facts behind Africa's headlines. Today, I'm delighted to be joined by a longstanding member of Invest Africa, Kirsty Chadwick, Group CEO of the Training Room Online, or TTRO for short. Kirsty, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Alex. It's a real honour and a privilege to be part of this series with you. So thanks very much for taking the time for the invitation to be here with you and to the whole Invest Africa team. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Kirsty, for those kind words. I want to really kick things off by giving our listeners an overview of what TTRO does. Perhaps you could sort of give us a little history of the organisation and your role within it.
Yeah, so I founded the Training Room Online back in 2008. As you can probably hear, not originally from South Africa, I'm originally from New Zealand, but been living here since 2005. And, you know, really saw sort of through my early years in South Africa, an opportunity to use technology as an enabler in the teaching and learning process. But seeing some of the challenges that were being faced, not only in South Africa, but, you know, really across the continent, I saw at that time an opportunity to really come to understand the power that technology could play in the teaching and learning space. So we primarily create transformative learning experiences. The business has been built over the last 13 years on doing that, either in the learning strategy space, in the creation of learning content, both digital and blended, in the development of learning technology. So we both have got learning technologies that we've created and also ones that we partner with and collaborate in the distribution of them. And then a model where we deliver learning, almost learning as a service. So it's a model where customers, we actually provide them with dedicated teams and we support them as an outsourced part of their business. So we're really part of their organization, but we're delivering very specific and niche services in the digital learning space that support their organizational goals. So that's in a nutshell what we do.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for that. I mean, you raised several points there. I think we can get back onto. You mentioned kind of the digital gap, which is particularly relevant in Africa. But perhaps, you know, sticking on TTRO for the moment, you know, in terms of kind of the business model and what kind of organizations you're working with, what are you seeing the major trends are in terms of kind of that corporate education space?
Yeah, so we work with corporations and generally your larger corporations across multiple different industry sectors. So we work with large corporates in financial services, in mining, in retail, in hospitality. So it's a fairly diverse set of customers and industries that we serve. We also work with government. So we have government customers that we serve in all of the different offerings that we have available within the business. And then academia. So we also work with colleges, with universities, and offerings that we have in early childhood and K-12. So we often talk about the lifelong learning spectrum, you know, whether people start learning from the day they're born and really don't stop learning till the day they die. And we've got our solutions cut across that. And often people will say, well, how do you manage to do that? And I think it's quite simple. Our offering has application everywhere. So if we're designing learning content or creating learning content and learning experiences, if we understand our target audience and we're doing that for workers in a mine, or we're doing that for executives in a bank, or we're doing that for learners in kindergarten, it's the same content design principles that we use, but obviously the end product that we create is relevant and appropriate to that learner who we designed it for. We're not subject matter experts, so if we look at what we do in all of those different client areas or client sectors, we're not the subject matter experts. Generally, inside of those organizations or institutions, they are already experts. What we bring to them is the ability to help them transform from what is traditionally an instructor-led way of delivering teaching and learning into a digital way of doing that. So, you know, really leveraging off the kinds of technologies that are driving the fourth industrial revolution, that are driving many business strategies and decisions that business are making, you know, bringing that into the learning space and the human capital development space and saying, if we use technology in a really innovative and creative way, we can transform people. We can give people the skills that they need at the moment in time that they need them and really help them to be relevant, not only with the skills for today, but with the future skills that they're going to need as business evolves and as business transforms at the pace at which it's going at the moment.
Fantastic. I think one of the key points there for me, certainly, as you mentioned, that fourth industrial revolution, the big marker, I think, of certainly my generation and indeed kind of not just here, you know, here in the UK where I'm based, but across the world. And perhaps we can kind of bring this on to Africa and how you've seen, I mean, obviously since, you know, being based down in South Africa since 2005, you know, you have a wealth of experience not just within South Africa, but cross continents as well. How you've seen kind of those leaps in technology and how you've seen developments like the fourth industrial revolution, a development across the continent.
So I think one of the things that I absolutely love about being in South Africa and the work that we do across the continent is the innovation in the way people do things, you know, and that real willpower to find a way to solve for problems. And, you know, where there are challenges there, you know, it's amazing entrepreneurs that, you know, sort of come up with solutions to things that will work in the context of Africa. And, you know, I think that's so exciting, and it really inspires me in a lot of the work that we do around finding the learning solutions that are going to work, you know, because it's not as simple as it is in other places. So one example to that, you know, from the technology point of view, whilst we might have access to the technology, the things that we need in and around that to deliver learning require data, you know, and then access to data that requires a cost, access to devices. You know, not everybody has got equal access to these tools that are needed if you're wanting to be able to consume learning in a digital way. So, you know, we find those barriers, and inevitably, you know, then you find, you know, innovative things that are happening in the space of internet and connectivity and Wi-Fi. And, you know, all of those things become further enablers for what we're trying to do on the learning technology side. You know, we look at the applications of AI, and we look at the applications of blockchain and these newer sort of emerging technologies, virtual reality, augmented reality. And when we look at how we apply that into learning, that in itself becomes really transformational. You know, we can start to deliver learning at a personalized level. We can start to deliver learning at the moment in time that learning needs to happen. We can integrate learning into the flow of work. It doesn't become a separated event. And yeah, I think there's a lot of innovation happening across the continent at the moment, and sort of really importantly to drive those transformations into the education and the training and development space, so that we're making sure specifically that our young people are really being prepared for opportunities of today and of the future. And I think that the only way we can really do that at the scale of which we've got to enable is if we can use the technology and really define different ways for people to be able to gain the skills and the knowledge that they need to help them to be successful into the future and help them, you know, contribute positively to the economy. So the jobs and opportunities are there. We've got this gap between getting the right level of learning and the right level of knowledge into the hands of these people all the time. So I think, you know, sort of remains a challenge, but one that definitely over the sort of 13 years of the journey of TTRO, we've seen huge progress in, you know, and I think sometimes you actually need to reflect back on that journey to be able to see how far we've come, you know, and how much more accessible it is now. You know, how many people have mobile devices? How many people have multiple devices? And, you know, it's become part of our lives to gain information. We talk sometimes about these micro moments, you know, what they happen every day when you want to know something, you want to buy something, you want to do something, you want to go somewhere, you go to the internet, you know, you go to your device and you get that immediate sort of micro moment of knowledge right at that point when you wanted to know it. And I think that's just fundamentally transformed how we live, how we work, how we learn, how we do things. And you know, if you think back, you know, 10, 20 years ago, we weren't there with that. So much has been achieved, and I think that will only continue to really grow, and the trends will be for greater and more adoption of digital going forward in our learning experiences.
Thank you for that. That's a really nice positive note there. And certainly I think positivity is an area which I think we all need a lot more of in current climates. I think your points around innovation, particularly in an African context, are key. And certainly the people that we have been working with over the last 4 months, you know, have really been driving that innovation. That's what's really exciting. You know, we've seen the likes of Google offering internet access via hot air balloons in Kenya, first of its time technology, and it's a fantastic indicative of the levels of innovation and the change in mentality as well that is needed when talking about particularly digitalization in an African context. But now I don't think any conversation can really be had without mentioning the dreaded COVID. Your organization is at the forefront of digitalization within the education space. We have seen huge increases in accessibility in education in a primary and secondary education capacity across the continent. And I think it'd be great to hear from you, you know, how has it affected your clients? How are you seeing that COVID-19 is actually going to be an accelerator for kind of the digitalization that TTRO works on?
So, yeah, COVID-19 has had a significant impact in education, particularly within the closure and the disruption it's had when schools have closed, when academic institutions have had to close, where corporations have had to close and staff are now having to work remotely, you know, and everything has been, you know, this whole transition of trying to find a new normal and a new way of working. I think sort of once things have settled down a little bit, we're definitely seeing, you know, the acceleration of organizations adopting or fast-tracking what they were looking to already do. So I think many of them were already on a path, you know, some more ready and more further ahead than others, but you know, there's this real willingness to actually adapt and adopt and embrace what digital can do from a learning point of view, and I think that's incredibly positive. You know, there's been a lot of pushback around digital from many people in the academic world, where you know, to change from what they've always known and how learning has always been conducted, you know, very much in a first industrial revolution way, you know, this trying to drag them into thinking about and considering using digital in the delivery of teaching and learning has been something that we've really grappled with. So yeah, I think definitely more people are saying, actually, you know what, this can work, and it's something we will not just do because we're in a pandemic and we're forced to do it differently. It's something we will do because we can actually see the benefits of it. And you know, how will they going forward when, you know, when learning could resume in the classroom and learning can resume in the way it used to be delivered, still to keep the digital elements there, still to be able to allow, you know, some of the tools that create personalized learning experiences from a digital point of view that classroom teaching can't allow for. How we can create more inclusive learning experiences, how can we, you know, really take advantage of it. And I think that's the area that we get really passionate about, you know, having been in this sector for so long and seeing the advancement and where we can get to by innovating with technology in this space, being able to now sort of apply that and get more people excited about it is really, really great. So yeah, it's been very positive for us. I think very negative, however, for many learners, where particularly in government schools or government institutions, where the response to getting an alternative way of learning to and in the hands of the learners has been firstly quite difficult for the government to achieve, but certainly quite slow in response. So, you know, a large part of this academic year will be lost So, I mean, it talks to also being more prepared going forward for events like this. You know, what are alternative solutions that can be explored? So, yeah, we're working where we can to support that. We have had so many people reaching out, asking for guidance, support, advice, you know, what we can do to help them. From our client perspective, some have been more negatively impacted by COVID themselves, and obviously that has a negative impact on our business if that impacts on cash flow and their ability to pay us for work that we may have done. So, yeah, look, I don't think there's any individual or business that hasn't, you know, hasn't gone through some period of hardship as a result of it. But again, to the point on innovation, it's also sometimes in the face of adversity where the greatest innovation excels. And I think we're seeing examples of that, and you've referenced a couple there as well.
Perfect, thank you. Necessity is the mother of invention, which I think is quite fitting at this moment in time. But I don't know whether you've got any examples you can give of the, a client which perhaps you've been working with for a while, and how you've had to adapt kind of your offering and indeed kind of the program that DTRO has been offering in a physical capacity, but now in a digital capacity, and how that you think is affecting the kind of learning experience.
Yeah, I mean, I can give you one example. So quite when we talk about designing blended learning solutions, it's a combination of learning that happens sort of generally self-directed through a learning management system or online, and then elements of that happen in the physical classroom. So it's a blend of digital and physical instructor-led learning. And obviously the disruption on the instructor-led side, we've been delivering a number of courses in the financial services sector for regulatory exams, you know, preparing, you know, advisors to be able to successfully pass their financial, their regulatory exam with the Financial Services Board. And there it was sort of saying, okay, well, now we're not going to be able to go and deliver the classroom piece of this. So how do we get a virtual classroom populated inside the learning platform and transform the whole experience? So, yeah, I think we're fortunate that obviously it's our space that we operate in, that we have the tools to do it. But, you know, it's just redesigning and reshaping the way that works. And I think where some of that has been a bit challenging is nobody really wants to sit and learn in the same place at home for the hours that you would sit and learn in a physical campus or in a classroom. You know, people will go on a day or a 2-day or a 5-day course, and they know that they will be there in that learning for that stage. But online is, you know, almost instructionally designed in a different way to create a different type of experience. So, you know, we find what we're doing quite a lot in the training space is sort of keeping it live, so it's still instructor-led and it's still live, but it's structured in the delivery of the learning through a virtual classroom over a different period of time. So, you know, we might have a 30-minute session each morning, still the same 8-hour day of learning, but broken up into a different way. And what's really interesting is sort of, you know, looking at the success of that, you know, delivery of learning in a staggered way as opposed to an intense, you know, day or 2 days. You know, so interesting to look at the metrics around the retention of the learning, the application of the learning, the concentration and the attention of the learners in that group, which generally we're finding to be, you know, quite a bit higher, more engaged in shorter sessions than they are, you know, for the longer part of the day. So I think it's really nice to see some success come in the differentiated way. The flip side to that is where, you know, learners have got challenges with connectivity and things go in and out. I think we've all been on enough video or web-based conferencing tools to know that they don't always work perfectly. So, you know, there's challenges in that which we need to find ways to work around. But at least the sessions can be recorded, they can be distributed afterwards and so on. So it's just being creative.
I want to touch on kind of something you brought up there. Obviously, kind of in this, well, in this particular example, you're working with the SA government, and sort of what do you, obviously when one thinks of education, immediately it's, you know, I think through historical kind of tradition, I suppose, it's a public sector offering. But obviously, companies like TTRO are now demonstrating that private sector involvement in the education space really helps to grow programs, initiatives, learning experiences as well. So, I mean, how do you perceive kind of the future of public-private relationship in regards to education in Africa? Are there going to be, do you think there needs to be more engagement from both sides, or do you think that there should be kind of, it should be more of a private offering?
Yeah, I'm a very big supporter of public-private partnerships. I think that private sector has a significant amount to offer to the public sector, specifically in education, but not exclusively in education. We've worked in partnership with the South African Education Department for the last about four years now. And, you know, in working in partnership, whilst it comes with some challenges, it also allows you to bring forward to them, you know, things that from our area of expertise and what we do as a firm, very, very specialized in this digital learning space, you know, we can bring that experience to them, where largely the experience that they have within the department is not experience in this particular field. So, you know, being able to bring that together and co-create and co-design what platforms need to look like, what content needs to look like, what are the standards, you know, what sort of policies do we need to help them think through that can make these kinds of initiatives successful. And I think with that, you know, and given the right opportunity, private sector is able to organize itself within a collaborative framework. And this is one of the things that we've been really trying to work hard on, is build a collaborative framework that people can bring contribution into that framework, that it's not all done in silos and in isolation. There's a common framework and a common outcome which we are seeking to achieve together, because the size of the challenge that we're solving for is huge. We have about over 26,000 schools. We have 12 million learners in those schools. We have 500,000 educators. We have the parents and caregivers. So the ecosystem really reflects about half the population of South Africa that is directly involved in public schools. So, you know, what we need to be trying to achieve with that is that everybody who's got contribution, and that comes from, you know, the hardware space, the connectivity space, the software, professional development for teachers, the content design and creation, the publishers, people who've, you know, been building and creating the textbooks and all of the learning materials, how we do the assessments. It's almost finding a way that that can come together and really, really work to design something that will have the impact that is desperately needed. And to do that, it does require policy change. It does require even a new way of thinking from a procurement point of view, the way services are procured into government. That they need to be procured almost collectively, because the outcome that we're trying to achieve isn't something that one organization on their own, nor government on their own, is going to be able to achieve. You know, we're seeking to achieve a completely different outcome and a completely different experience of learning for children in our public schools. We're seeking to achieve significantly better academic results and a significantly better experience of learning that makes them ready for the world of work, that makes them, gives them the opportunity to be in a better place. And I think that's where, you know, the ideas and the thinking that the department has is right, but the how to do it really, really needs private sector, you know, to come alongside and make it work together. And we need to, you know, the government needs to provision the right, you know, financial mechanisms and the right financial models to support it sustainably. So I think, you know, there's work being done, there's much more to be done. But I definitely feel for the continent's success in educating our young people can only come through public-private partnership.
I think you hit the nail on the head there. It's something that certainly, you know, working cross-sector as in West Africa, it's something that we see much greater results as a through those collaborative efforts and approaches, rather than keeping, you know, private and public sector separate. And I think particularly around your point on not just scalability, but also sustainability as well. You know, those public-private partnerships are essential. I think we're coming to the end now. I mean, it's too many of these conversations, I feel, are doom and gloom at the moment. And I think it's really nice to be able to talk to you and with such a positive outlook, particularly around kind of in that important space that TTRO operates it. So really glad for that. Are there any other exciting new developments that our audience should be aware of?
Yeah, another example of what we've done, it's an internship program. So one of the things that we've been working on over the last probably about 18 months now is the design of a capacity and capability building project for youth employment opportunities in South Africa. And we've designed it because we're seeing the growing need, and this was pre-COVID, that there was a real need and also a real opportunity for South Africa to position the creation of digital learning to an international audience. You know, as TTRO, we have a number of international clients that we are working with. They're requiring more and more in the resource space from us. So we felt that there was a real need to build a talent pool and create opportunities for youth to get into a sector which is growing, will continue to grow, probably now at an accelerated pace. You know, and how do we bring those opportunities to South Africa and to young people here? So we were partnering, and First Round is actually sponsoring an initiative for 100 young people and working alongside us as our partner with this cohort. We were going to be delivering that on site at Bank City in a rollout that would have begun on the 1st of June. And when COVID happened, then obviously there was no possibility for us to be able to go forward. So we started to work with them and work with our team internally to say, well, what if we made this a virtual experience? We run an entire internship over a 12-month period. We, again, to the point, we have the same design of the learning experience, but we deliver it, and all of our learners are remote. Everybody is remotely based. My team is fully remotely based, and we've taken a decision that we will remain so as an organization. Going forward, we have really seen increased productivity. Our team have settled incredibly well working remotely, building their projects very successfully together. So that's been our model. So we thought, well, if we mirror that in this internship program, then it gives us the ability to really look at job creation on quite a significant scale and be able to prepare the talent that this digital learning world needs in order to be able to create great learning content over time and create career pathways for these young people into our industry. So we're launching that program. We've started our recruitment process. We've had thousands of applicants for these 100 positions. We'll be beginning on the 14th of September. And yeah, we've already got a lot of interest to scale it out and then make these groups of young people responsible for very specific learning design for specific sectors. So this particular group of 100 are going to be creating digital learning assets and learning content for the Department of Basic Education. So the South African Department of Basic Education has a national platform, but in that platform, there's a great need for really well-designed learning assets or learning content that supports the curriculum and the delivery of the curriculum. So these 100 young people will have a content roadmap of assets that they will create. They'll all become open educational resources, which will be populated in the national platform for the department. And in that way, you know, the contribution is not only in the jobs that we are creating and the career pathways that we are bringing for youth, but it's also what it's contributing into the education system and having readily available content for people to access. And we're also in discussions with looking at doing something similar in the call center space. You know, how do we build industry academies while we grow talent in our field, how do we use that talent really productively to create content for different industry sectors? It could be a call center academy. It could be for agriculture. It could be for technology. You know, as we grow into wanting to do more with learning in a digital way, so does the demand come for the skills that are needed in order to achieve that. And so that was part of how, you know, we've ourselves, you know, sort of pivoted thinking about internship programs. And I think it's a really interesting, you know, when we talk about the gig economy and say, well, this is how people will be working in the gig economy on freelance basis. They'll be working for international customers. They'll be based in whatever location they're based in, and they're doing work for a customer in another part of the world. And I think that's really starting to validate that model and again accelerate that, which I believe creates a lot of opportunities for people to start to think about, you know, living, working, learning in a different way.
Thank you for that. It's really exciting development for TTRO, and we're really looking forward to seeing that that program roll out.
Yeah, so I mean, we're also operating a program that we really want to get off the ground, and on the back of that program is what we ran in an incubation center. So we ran a program, we didn't do it last year, and this year because of COVID we haven't had the opportunity, but what we did was we took in an intake. What we were seeking to achieve was the establishment of small medium enterprise within the edtech sector, and we were seeking to do that through finding young people who really had a passion for this space, who really saw or wanted to have the opportunity to become an entrepreneur and to start up their own business. And we worked with young people, young individuals as they came into the center. We did various different sort of programs and challenges and activities that they needed to sort of achieve. And by the end of the year, we graduated 5 small businesses in our space. And we really feel that that's sort of an initiative that we want to plug into what we're doing with FirstRand, that yes, we can create jobs and we can create job opportunities for young people, but if we can find a few people through that program that they themselves, you know, can start a small business and they can also create jobs in that small business, that it's a real way to help solve for, you know, unemployment and to leverage a sector that has got so much potential to rapidly expand and from South Africa to serve the world. So we're really hopeful to re-engage on that and start to graduate more sort of small businesses on the back of the work that we do. And yeah, we're very excited also with some of the partnerships that are forming with UK companies that are really choosing to look at South Africa as a destination to work with. We've got significant projects happening with a couple of UK clients where they also see value not only in what we do and how we do it and the quality of what we do, but they see great value in the exchange rate and the cost of what they can pay for these quality services from us. So, you know, we really see lots of potential to form more partnerships with international customers, particularly across the UK and Europe. A very similar time zone. So as successful as the call centre industry has been in South Africa in that frame, we see our sector being able to replicate that. We might not get to making hundreds of thousands of jobs, but if we get to making tens of thousands of jobs, then, you know, I think it's bringing a really, really big economic contribution and valuable contribution to South Africa.
Brilliant, Kirsty. Thank you so much for that. So if our audience are looking to keep in touch with TTRO, what's the best way for it? Is it LinkedIn, Twitter?
Yeah, absolutely. We're on all of those channels. So you can connect with me on LinkedIn through Kirsty Chadwick, our website, www.ttro.com. And through there, we've got all of the different channels where we talk about the work that we do. Share the stories, probably not as much as what we should, but trying to get better at just making sure people know some of the amazing work that the team is doing. And really appreciate the opportunity to share this with you and the Invest Africa viewers. And would encourage you to reach out if you want to know more, if we can support or contribute to what you're trying to achieve in the space of education or learning. It's always great conversations to have.
It is. And speaking of great conversations, Kirsty, thank you so much for your time today. I know how busy you are, we are delighted that we can welcome you to the program. Certainly from our perspective, ETRO plays a crucial role in accelerating that digitalization of the education space in Africa, and we are delighted to be working with you and supporting you as you look to expand your operations. Certainly, if any of our listeners do want to get in touch with Kirsty, they can email insights@investafrica.com, and I'm sure we'll be able to connect you with Kirsty directly as well. So Kirsty, thank you so much for your time today. A delight as always. And hopefully at some point we will be down in Cape Town or Joburg, and we'll be able to perhaps have a recording face-to-face. But for the moment, thank you so much for your time today. And thank you also to our listeners as well. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Alex. Really appreciate it. Have a lovely day. Take care.